B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Who better to break down a game like this and a game that might be a high-flying attack than Ron Jaworski? Ron, good morning, sir.
Gentlemen, great to be with you, and I certainly agree. This is a litmus test game. We're going to find out a lot about the Birds on Sunday.
I agree. What's the bigger test you see? Was it the Packers game, or is it this Vikings game?
I think it's this game. I really do. We now have a template of what every team is right now. Barring injuries, we know what they are. And, you know, we've seen five games of the Eagles. We've seen a bunch of games for the Vikings. They match up, you know, I think very evenly in this game. But this is one I think we find out who they are.
Yeah, I think that's I'm with you there, and that's a great point. Considering now week six, these other teams have had those 5 weeks to kind of get in shape, get their plays down, and all that. How do you evaluate Kirk Cousins as a quarterback? Because there's some debate about him. He seems to always be one of the guys that's up there in completion percentage. He certainly has some great weapons out there in Minnesota. How do you evaluate Kirk Cousins as a QB?
Well, I think number one, you know, what the average fan seems to look at, Kirk Cousins got that $84 million contract, and, you know, he was going to take the Vikings to the Super Bowl. Well, that didn't happen. And clearly when you put that dollar sign around a player, the expectations go way, way up. You know, we've seen that here in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz. You know, the expectations now are very high. You've got to play to that financial compensation amount that you are given. So I think Kirk Cousins has not met that demand as far as the dollars he's paid. But if you look at his tape, you look at his performance, he has played very well on the field. Now, everyone's going to throw out he hasn't played great against good competition, and to a certain degree, I would agree with that. But when you look at Kirk Cousins, he's a professional quarterback with a lot of talent. Like most quarterbacks in this league, you better have a strong supporting cast. He now has that strong supporting cast. I think now with Kevin Stefanski as his offensive coordinator, there's kind of a better feel for what is expected of Kirk Cousins. I think it always takes a little time. It took five games for the Vikings to figure out what he is in this Stefanski scheme, and I think we saw it best last week against the Giants in New York, where it was the movement. Get him outside, use a play-action passing game, have a balanced offense. That's when Kirk Cousins is at his best.
What's the best way for the Eagles to approach this game from their offensive perspective? Is it an air attack? Is it trying to just ground and pound type of thing? What's the best way for Doug Peterson to draw up the game plan going into this game?
I think if you become one-dimensional in this game or any game, you play into the hands of the defense as an offensive team. This Vikings defense is very, very good. They can rush the passer. You know, they got Daniel Hunter, who's an outstanding pass rusher, and Everson Griffin. And Linval Joseph has always played well against the Eagles. Their second is very, very good. You know, they'll probably match up Xavier Rhodes and get him out there on Alshon Jeffrey. He matches up very well against him. Their linebackers can fly to the football. You know, Mike Zimmer, their head coach and the guy who is his backbone, his defense, has always done a tremendous job with double-A pressures, those pressures up the middle, and manufacturing pressure on the quarterback. So clearly, I think when you play a team that can play pass coverage well, can stop the run, you better be balanced and stay ahead of the down. In other words, don't get into those known passing situations, second and long and third and long. That's when you get in trouble against a good defense like the Vikings.
How much do you think not having DeSean Jackson with this is going to affect it? Because when I go back and I watch that secondary, what they're doing is keeping everybody in front. And if you don't have a speedster to get behind them, you know, they're just going to play back and keep everybody in front of them.
Hey, Trey, you're absolutely right. And the one thing that this Eagle team has lacked, you know, has been the deep ball. And as I look at this game, one area that does concern me is Carson is only averaging 6.62 yards per attempt. And you can compare that to Kirk Cousins, who's at 8.26, so a yard and a half more per attempt. And it's a very, very important stat when you look at the outcomes of football game, the yards per pass attempt from a quarterback. So clearly at 6.62 for Carson Wentz, that's not where he needs to be, and that's where DeSean Jackson comes into play. I think it's critical that he gets healthy and the explosiveness will come back to this Eagle offense.
Charles, the numbers say that the Eagles' run defense is really, really good, and it's pretty obvious. But I go to the side that other teams haven't concentrated on running the ball against the Eagles, and they haven't really gone up against a really number one back like a Dalvin Cook. What do you think about that, the running game of Minnesota versus the Eagles' run defense this weekend?
Yeah, you mentioned the guy, Dalvin Cook, and he is a tremendous running back. This guy can flat out fly. He's tough. He's powerful. I mean, he is an NFL back. You know, number two in rushing, and I say an NFL back. He's a guy that can do it all. He can catch the football. He can block. He's an every down back. And if you blink, he's going to run by you. So I think it's the first time the Eagles are facing what I would consider, you know, an NFL back that can make them pay if they make a mistake. But this defense is very, very good, guys, against the run. I mean, you just don't move those guys inside. And Trey knows they're just big bodies. They drop their anchor, and you can't move them. And allows linebackers to fast flow. And I thought last week, again, I know it's the lowly Jets who are dreadful. It was an embarrassment for the NFL and Adam Gase to put that offense on the field. But what I saw in design from Jim Schwartz was phenomenal. He was creative with his blitzes. He blitzed more than I've ever seen him blitz in a game. Of course, he had a quarterback that probably could be playing for the Philadelphia Soul, let alone the New York Jets. But they got after him. You know, they came off the edge. It was creative. It was blitz pressure. Their young offense line, the Jets didn't understand it. So Schwartz was very creative, and I think, you know, he's becoming more creative with this defense because injuries have forced him to do that. He's got to, I like to say, rent space in a quarterback's mind. You know, create some doubt. Create some areas where the quarterback doesn't know what the coverage is going to be. So I think Schwartz has really had a good year in his design.
Now, one of the things I look at when I watch this offensive line with the Minnesota Vikings is they do a lot of cutting, where they're going to cut on the backside, they're going to cut when they get up to the linebackers. Do we need to have more aggressive? I know it's hard moving our D linemen, but I think for us, our linebacker play is going to have to be a little bit more aggressive. What do you see there?
Yeah, no question about it, Trey. And I think, you know, that's the one thing, those stretch outside zone plays that Vikings like to run. You know, the league has changed a lot of the rules, you know, from cutting that backside. The old cut rules where, you know, you should fall on the back of guy's legs, Trey. I mean, you wouldn't do that, but you know, there were some players that did that, you know, those cut blocks, which are now illegal. So it forces the offensive lineman now to get their hat across the bow. You know, in other words, that reach block is a lot tougher. But when you got a guy like Delvin Cook, he doesn't need a whole lot. I mean, this guy has great explosiveness, and if they do seal that backside, you're going to get some lanes for him, you're going to get some cracks, and he'll make you pay for him. So I think clearly the run fits by the linebackers, the defensive line, are absolutely paramount, that the Eagles got execute that very well.
Speaking with Ron Jaworski, Ron, there was another egregious non-pass interference play last night that was reviewed in the Patriots-Giants game and still not ruled pass interference. You're a quarterback in this league for a long time. You've been an analyst for even longer. What the hell is pass interference?
Let's see. I came in the league in 1973. I know that's a long time ago,
guys. That was the year before I was born.
That's a long time. That's what I said, Trey. It's a long time ago. And pass interference back in 1973, it wasn't clear. Here we are, 47 years later, pass interference, I think, is more unclear. Now we've got all the technology. We've got the replays. I think, you know, I'm watching the coaches, particularly Pat Shurmur, because you can see on his face how Pat feels in all these plays. I'm like, I just, you know, you can challenge anything. It may look obvious to us, but when those guys in New York, those guys, and they bring that surface out in the field, I don't know what they're looking at, but it's still very, very confusing to me, and I think anyone that's watched football as long as I have is still confused by it.
Jaws, in 2017, the Eagles were phenomenal in the first quarter, and Carson Wentz especially. They put up a lot of points, his passer rating through the roof. What's changed so much in 2 years that they just can't get started on the right foot?
You know, it's funny. It's an area I spent some time on this week trying to figure out and thinking back to coaches that I played with, you know, and guys like Chuck Knox and Dick Vermeil and Marty Schottenheimer and the winningest coach in the history of the NFL, Don Shula. You know, I mean, these are guys that have won over 1,000 games, you know, and I played for some of the best coaches, and they form my football philosophy. And I tried to think, when a quarterback starts slow, or when I started slow, what changes, you know, were made to try to turn things around? What changes were made to get the offense jacked up a little bit early in the game? Because, I mean, Carson is really playing good football, except in the first quarter. I mean, he's been dreadful in the first quarter, guys. His completion percentage is 48%. I said that 48%, and I'm saying it twice because I can't believe I'm saying that. A guy of that talent, the weapons around him, you know, he's the 32nd ranked quarterback in the first quarter of a game. So how do you get that, you know, get off the schneid, I guess, as Chris Berman would say, you know, to get him going.
Right.
And I think this is where, you know, a Mike Groh and a Doug Peterson really have to go up with a game plan that is comfortable for Carson. I don't know what it's going to be, but you know, maybe he's a guy, and there are all kinds of different players. You mentioned 17, where he was, you know, sharp in the first quarter. Hey, go back, look at it. Maybe he's too amped up. You know, I was the guy that, man, if you called the first play of the game a pass, you know, because you thought it was going to be open, oh man, I was thinking about it for 2 days, you know, and then usually overthrow the guy by 10 yards because he gets so amped up, and it's something you have to be very, very careful of. And I would like to see the Eagles come out early in this game with a high percentage, quick passing game, almost those guaranteed completions. Get Carson into a flow of the game. Get him thinking positively in that first quarter.
All right, let's get your prediction, and I got some other stuff I want to get into real quick. But, Jaws, your prediction for Eagles-Vikings on Sunday.
Looking forward to this game, and I've got the Eagles pulling this one out late, 24-23.
Oh, thank God. All right. Oh, 1-point game! Oh,
well,
my God.
Well, it's the NFL. It should be.
Good enough. Now, you have some locks that you got into, and I believe I heard some of these as well when you were at Ramblewood the other day. You were doing your fine broadcast from out there. That's first off, the setup you guys do at Ramblewood is just pristine. You got to love doing it out there.
Oh, we have a ball, you know, and Baldy is such a great guest, you know, because you know Baldy is like me. We're kind of a wonk when it comes to the tape study, and you know we love that part of the game. And some people aren't all that crazy about it, but you know the film doesn't lie. Trey knows that
exactly. I keep trying to tell him.
Yeah, so hey, you know you I got stats, I got video study, I got all this good stuff, and Baldy's the same way. And it's great with the crowd because the crowd reacts to you know the fun that we have, and you know. There are other games on TV. They're watching basketball, baseball, football, whatever it may be, and they're watching us just have a good time. So I love doing the live shows.
All right, and then the last thing I got to ask you here, Jaws, we have a study that was done about marriage, and the study was done saying that a man that does all the chores, that means that marriage is going to end in divorce. What do you think about that there, Jaws?
I would disagree with that, totally. I've been married 45 years to the greatest woman in history. I clean the garage. Occasionally, I work around the house. I do the dishes. Occasionally, I will cook. But yeah, I like to keep busy.
There we go. See that?
But that's a lot of occasionally, though.
Hey, I'm a busy guy. I gotta...
Jaws, always great talking to you, my man. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.